It is a deep joy to send spiritual greetings to you once more from the hills of La Jolla and to experience with you the glory of meeting the Father face to face. Two principles, known before the world began, are still the essence of reality. And these principles can lift each of us into a clearer vision of the new heaven on earth. Ignore these two principles and we stumble. Practice them daily, dedicatedly, and we make contact with an invisible force that can build for us a radiant path of light in the wilderness of the human mind. These two principles are: matter does not exist. Only spirit is. And two, spirit is the only being. It does not break up into little pieces of spirit called saints, angels, or persons. It is the only being. It is infinite being. And because the one infinite spiritual being is the only being, you must be that infinite spiritual being. Now, those are your two principles. No matter, only spirit. And you are that spirit, and that spirit is infinite spiritual being. So whether you've been studying for 40 years or only 5 years, please know that you will muddle through the quicksand of mind until you accept and daily practice these two principles. No matter, and I am the one spiritual being. There are no separate lives anywhere. There are no material lives anywhere. I am the infinite spirit everywhere. No matter what seems to appear, that is the truth. Now, these principles were known on earth even before Jesus Christ. They were known before the Essenes and before Moses. It was known by the nameless illumined ones that God is all, that God is one infinite spiritual being, infinitely good, perfection, without beginning or end. It was understood that God has no opposites, that within God is only God itself. Within spirit is only spirit. And God, being infinitely perfect, it was realized, therefore, that evil must be impossible. It can only seem to exist in the imagination of the beholder. And it was realized that matter is equally impossible within the allness of spirit. Further, it was realized that the beholder of evil must be as unreal as the evil and the matter that he thinks he is beholding. And finally, it was realized that the beholder of evil is a mind image called form. But where the form in mind appears, only the living soul actually is. To make the one infinite being understandable to neophytes, the secret wisdoms taught that infinite God, the boundless one, sends forth 12 spiritual emanations or attributes of himself within his own substance. The first emanation, called the crown or heavenly man, was also known as primordial man, an archetypal man. In later teachings, it was called various other names, such as the inner master and the Christed man and the Christ man. The first emanation within infinite spirit, this heavenly Christ man, was actually infinite and contained within itself 10 other spiritual emanations.
making 11 in all.
And all 11 spiritual emanations or attributes then combined to become the 12th. And this final or 12th emanation was known as the finished kingdom of God. And it is known today in the book of Genesis as the seventh day. This is not something that becomes. It already is. The full spiritual individualization of God as you is true right this minute and was true before the world appeared. It is also the truth of your parents and grandparents, all of your past ancestors, your children and all your grandchildren. Everyone now, whether they are visible to you or not, is the full spiritual individualization of God. They have always lived and are living now in that pure state, totally independent of the material image of form that they may be presenting now on earth at this particular moment. And this is a permanent truth known only to your soul. He created man in his spiritual image and likeness, not in his material image and likeness. And nothing can ever change the perfect spiritual self of each individualization of God. This eternal truth includes everyone. All who have already stepped beyond this mortal concept of form into a higher realization of self, and all who are returning in form to again seek their true soul realization. All are now the one spiritual being. And whoever denies this by word, thought, or deed is trying to serve both God and mammon. No soul has ever been denied the full potency of all 12 emanations of God. Please remember, this is not a truth to achieve. It is a universal truth to accept and to realize as an already accomplished fact. When finally we overcome material sense with its human concepts of love, hate, and fear, we are expelling Judas within, which is the remnant of the serpent mind. Then the remaining 11 disciples, or spiritual emanations, unite. And this is the choosing of the 12th disciple, or the coming together of the 11 emanations into the fullness, known as the finished kingdom of God. Then material sense has been overcome, and soon the 12 disciples will scatter, carrying the message far and wide. This means that the 12 emanations combine and multiply into infinite combinations. And these infinite spiritual combinations interpenetrate each other. Love penetrates truth and beauty. Beauty penetrates love and truth. New combinations are formed. And each emanation penetrating each other emanation until these combinations of emanations are 144,000, as said in the book of Revelations. And this is to indicate 12,000 times 12,000, meaning infinite combinations. Love interpenetrates every combination. Truth interpenetrates every combination. Beauty and harmony interpenetrate. You see, the allness becomes everywhere present. And the miraculous quality of these spiritual emanations means that everywhere, throughout the invisible spiritual kingdom, God is equally present in fullness as one infinite living being, with no material opposite, and with no opposites to any of these ever-present infinite attributes. This is your homogenized spiritual universe in which the allness of God is everywhere. This is how it is now. In this perfect spiritual kingdom, there is no material creation. There is no material substance, no material form, no material laws, no material conditions. And you must see that there is no material birth, no material life, and no material death. We are looking at reality in this moment. All emanations within spirit are spiritual. And they only exist within the one infinite spiritual being. There is no outside. There is only that which is within. And there's nothing else. Thus ensuring eternal perfection. This finished kingdom and its divine attributes constitute your true and your permanent self, containing absolutely no matter, unconfined by time and by space, and forever self-existent. These attributes depend on nothing but themselves, for they are divine essence, and they express themselves in infinite eternal perfection. They are the allness of God, and worlds may appear in time and space and even be destroyed, but your permanent being, composed of these divine emanations, is indestructible spirit. This divine reality of you exists here and now, has always existed, always will exist. But most important, this infinite self is available to be lived in now through your pure soul consciousness. The ancients called this invisible kingdom of God the upper world, because it was perceptible only by its own substance. And within its own infinite self, spirit presses forth its own substance as your soul. My soul, his soul, every soul is pressed forth from this substance. And this soul is the only faculty that can receive, experience, and externalize the infinite divine thought patterns. Therefore, unless you attain a link-up with infinite spirit through your soul faculty, you live in a sense of separation, and your human sense mind continues to express distorted patterns of reality. Now, the distorted mind image was named by the ancients as the lower world, or the imitation world of the mind. They taught that to receive truth, man must first have knowledge of his one identity as the heavenly man, the first spiritual emanation of God, and that without the acceptance of this true identity, he would be deprived of the capacity to receive all other divine emanations. And he would be forced thereby to remain in a false material sense of self in an unreal, changing world of mental concepts. The upper world was called light. The lower world was called darkness. Heavenly, or Christ man, lived in this upper world of light as the light, the divine image and likeness of God. The human, the material concept of man, lived in the lower world of darkness, unaware of the finished kingdom of spirit around him, and also unaware of his own soul which lives in that finished kingdom, unaware that, humanly, he was nothing more than an imitation copy of himself, not created by God, but by the world mind, which duplicates itself as the individual mind of every human. And then, through this counterfeit individual mind, projects a corporeal or material image, which the human mistakenly calls his body. This lower world, where the human concept lives, is not governed by God. And in it, he is forever trying to patch up his mental material universe, unaware that man must attain a divine link up with soul in order to apprehend the qualities or emanations of the upper world, the finished kingdom of light. Without this divine link up through soul, man misses the mark. He stumbles in the darkness of false finite lifespans under the karmic law of good and evil, cause and effect, never knowing himself or anyone else as they are, and always seeking the realities that he seems to lack, which already are contained and complete within his own invisible spiritual self. As humans, we rejoice at birth, we grieve at death, although both are imaginary appearances within the lower world. All the while, our soul lives joyously and free in the upper world of light, totally independent of the entire concept which we call the material world. Naturally, as finite images in this lower world, we feel at home with other finite images. We fail to realize that they, like our own human selves, are without divine protection, without divine guidance, and without divine substance. We are transient strangers, passing in the darkness of this lower world, identifying each other as persons, experiencing only a distorted fraction of each other in our sense lives. And yet, when soul comes into play, the divine link-up lifts us above this imitation universe, above the subtly changing concepts of the mind in time and space, into a divine universe of the soul where infinity is presented to us face to face, without finite boundaries, without mental distortion, without false horizons. Lo and behold, all changing opposites, all separations disappear. Now then, your soul is formed of these divine emanations. It lives in these divine emanations, and it alone is divinely endowed with the capacity to receive the light of God. This is the higher meaning of righteousness. It is the function of your soul to express the fullness of the divine emanations, thus linking your image with God. This union of your soul with substance from which it emanates is known as the holy kiss, in which the creature and the creator are one. And then, as Paul observed, you no longer see through a glass darkly, meaning finitely or materially, but face to face, meaning you no longer know in part, but you know as you are known. You express the fullness of the infinite perfection of the Godhead. So your earthly function is to find your own soul, that it may visibly express the divine emanations of God. The Bible refers to these divine emanations as the begotten, which is very different in meaning than the word made. What is made is a separate entity, like a house, an automobile, or a chair. It has boundaries. It is finite. It is not connected to anything else. But begotten conveys an entirely different idea. What is begotten is never separated from its creator. They are united, unified, and they express without division. So Christ, your heavenly self, is begotten, meaning one with God now and forever, never separated. Human beings are not begotten of the essence. They are made mentally. They are finite. They are separated images of mind. They are not connected to the One. But this begotten is your Christ self, the first emanation of the divine, which includes 10 additional emanations, and from these emanations, your soul is begotten of their spiritual substance. Then, you are linked with soul, and it expresses these emanations. And this is returning to the Father's house. This is your reunion with Deity. The return of your soul to its infinite source to develop the fullness of the capacities of God is the esoteric meaning of the 7 letters to the churches in the Revelation of St. John. Through soul awareness, the glory of grace overcomes the darkness of the lower imitation world of humanhood. Your outer shell is overcome and replaced by the divine image of your soul body, which never knows the illusion of death. You are lifted from a temporary sense of self, from false time and space concepts of the sense mind, into the finished kingdom of perfect government, described by various religious philosophies as the eternal day, paradise, bliss, the promised land, Elysian fields, the kingdom of ineffable joy, and other inspired names, all to inform us that the soul universe is present now, beyond the direct perception of our minds. Your rebirth is your return to soul consciousness, and this shatters the domination of the world mind and its seemingly real material laws. You become a partaker of your own divine nature instead of seeking a counterfeit salvation in the hereafter. Your old vague concepts of heaven and earth are replaced by the real heaven and earth. Your karmic debts are all erased. False concepts of human suffering, disease, and death are all dissolved. And your true selfhood is realized. But this divine link-up is only experienced when your soul awareness is the goal of your life. It doesn't happen by happenstance. It happens by dedication to that one purpose. When you set before you one goal, soul awareness, and bend all thought in that direction, you find inner guidance comes your way. Then you're really a true laborer in the divine vineyard. The fruits of that labor to attain soul awareness can never be taken away from you. Every personal and every material goal is a barrier to the attainment of soul awareness. Personal goals are a detour. They separate you from the divine emanations. They separate you from the life-giving substance of your own true self. When the divine link-up of soul awareness is your one and only purpose on this earth, you have the single eye which unites you with infinity, dispels the darkness, lifts you into illumination, and you are begotten of the Father. This is your virgin birth. Now let's be still and put into meditation now the two principles we talked about several moments ago. Matter has no existence. Right here, right now, where I am, where you are, there is no matter. This is your starting point. And as you rest in this, trying to adjust your consciousness to that truth, the world should be dropping away. You should be losing your sense of personal, material selfhood, so that you cease to be a man or woman or a physical body, but become a consciousness. I have never been material being. I have always been divine consciousness. All material life has been the outpicturing of a false human consciousness. But I and the infinite spiritual self. Myself is spirit. And spirit is the one being of this universe. In my spirit there is no matter, no material conditions, no material forms. I speak now of the reality of my being. I am the infinite spiritual being containing no matter, no material conditions, no human lifespan. I am self-complete spirit now and forever. There's nothing I need do about it. There's nothing I need make happen. This is what I am. And I rest now, realizing that what I am is self-sufficient forever. It is always functioning, always being the only self in the universe. This is an exercise that you may practice 10 or even 20 times a day, just for a few minutes, to establish that there is no matter in your spiritual selfhood. And your spiritual selfhood is infinite being, the one and only being. I and the Father are one, and that one is spiritual self. And then just rest in that awareness. Seeking nothing, asking nothing, wanting nothing, needing nothing. Just being pure spirit. Now please be assured that as you practice this frequently, the automatic activity of the world mind is being nullified, and you are establishing for yourself a foundation which ultimately will look out on the material images of the world without any need to react to them. This is so basic to your progress spiritually that the more often you do it, the more you will realize that you have found a weapon that for you can open the invisible to your living experience. I am spirit. Spirit is the one being of the universe, and therefore that is my name. And within spirit, there is no matter. And therefore, there is no matter in the spiritual universe. There is no material world. Again and again and again through the day, through the night. If you awake at 3 a.m. and don't know what to do, meditate on this. When you have done it 100 times or more, you will begin to believe it. And you will begin to see the fruits of your work. For these are the two basic principles. It seems quite amazing, but one of the most staggering blunders ever made in this world is the failure of religion, particularly, and of science as well, to recognize that the spiritual kingdom of God is a finished reality, here and now, waiting to be lived in by each of us. And what makes this oversight even more remarkable is that the very specific purpose of Christ Jesus and other divine lights has been to reveal the presence and the availability of the finished spiritual kingdom and to demonstrate that true salvation consists only in learning how to live in this spiritual kingdom instead of in the material world. Think back. Every miraculous healing demonstrated by Christ Jesus was another way of saying, I am revealing here and now the living essence of the invisible kingdom of spiritual perfection. Live in it. Every parable about the kingdom of heaven, although misconstrued by religion to refer to the heavenly hereafter, was to open our eyes to the presence of a perfect spiritual universe where man can and must learn to live now if he wishes to obey the will of God, which is that he step out of the false opposites of life and death into perfection, perfection without end. So totally has the human brain been brainwashed that mankind continues to walk in the spiritual Garden of Eden, blind to its perfect presence, responsive to the material opposites that are not here, and suffering only from our material beliefs, reliving those same stupidities described in the allegory of Adam and Eve. So completely hypnotized that when life is placed before us, right in front of our material eyes, we choose death instead. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. The kingdom of God is spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of spirit and spiritual righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When? Tomorrow? Whenever you find spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Once you're even on the quest for spirit, aware that your only problem has ever been that you are poor in spirit, then you are seeking the kingdom of spirit as Scripture tells you to. You're seeking the kingdom of God in the right place. You're turning your mind away from matter to spirit. You're seeking first the kingdom of spirit. You've established spirit then as your top priority. The quintessence of your thoughts and of all your actions is finding spirit. You're accepting spirit then as the living all presence here and now, and that's why you're seeking it now. Then yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When? Tomorrow, in the hereafter, or when you find the Spirit. Your willingness, your determination to banish all belief in the existence of matter is your meekness, and to rise above the sense mind which believes in matter, to find your soul, to surrender to your soul. This is the meekness which opens the gates of heaven here and now. This converts earth to heaven. This converts our false material sense of earth to the spiritual heaven here and now. And this is the promise of the meek shall inherit the earth. It is the restatement by the Christ that the spiritual universe is here now awaiting your recognition and your willingness to live in it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Here and now. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Here and now. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is. Never will be. For 3 glorious years, Christ sent forth the Jesus image demonstrating the presence of the kingdom of heaven. The invisible spirit that is eternal life itself, revealing the wonders of that living kingdom here and now, producing even visible evidence. And even when the evidence arose from a coffin and explained, I am not dead, or it opened its eyes and shouted, I can see, the human mind believed that it was actually seeing in the present. But what it was seeing in the present, it thought was only a promise of the future. What a peculiar twist of the mind. It could look right out there and see and think what it was seeing was only a promise of tomorrow. You see, that's the hypnosis. So overpowering is the tide of world thought that unless you stop everything, you just take your stand. Matter has no existence. God is all. God is spirit. And if I accept the reality of matter, I have stepped out of the truth that spirit is all. But if I stand firm that spirit is all, and therefore matter cannot exist, I'm breaking the veil of the senses. And in one glorious moment of material sense, shattered. It loses all its false power. The veil of this false material sense of earth parts. And as the Bible says, I inherit the spiritual earth. I discover what the sages have always known. Earth is heaven, seen through a glass darkly. Where earth appears, heaven is now. Yes, if I'm willing to stand firm against the false belief in matter, because matter will persecute me, attack me, threaten me, challenge me, try to terrorize me. But the knowledge that only spirit is present, this is righteousness. And if I do not falter in that belief, that only spirit is present, mine is the kingdom of heaven here and now. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if I'm unwilling to face the challenge of material sense, regardless of the consequences, I am told ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Accept matter, accept it, and you lose spirit. Reject matter, accept spirit, and yours is the kingdom of heaven. So it must be here. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Means, be therefore spirit, as your Father is spirit. Be spirit here and now. And spirit your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward the open. Be spirit, and spirit your Father, who knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him, will give you the kingdom of spirit here and now. The entire Lord's Prayer is an inspired statement that we are spirit, that we are standing in the midst of a spiritual universe that contains no matter. It is actually a realization of the presence of God. A full statement is contained in the Lord's Prayer that the spiritual kingdom of heaven is now on earth. For spirit is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It is the recognition of one kingdom without opposite. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. You notice that? On earth as in heaven? Don't divide them. Heaven is earth without the mask of the senses. They're one and the same. Don't be fooled by material sense. Don't reach out for the mirage of matter that is never there. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Meaning, in spiritual knowledge, in spiritual recognition that the all-pervading Spirit of God has no material opposite. Stop serving two masters, matter and spirit. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Here is the call to oneness. The declaration that spirit is where matter seems to be. And your determination to stand in a spiritual focus, saying nay to matter and yea to spirit, is the straight gate that leads to life. It really opens your consciousness to the presence of the perfect spiritual kingdom here and now. And the rains may pour, and the floods may come, material events may knock at your consciousness in a variety of shapes and sizes, and the winds of world thought may blow furiously and beat your consciousness. But if you are anchored in these two truths that we are speaking of today, there is no matter. No matter. And I am the infinite Spirit of God, your house will not fall. For it will be founded on the rock of Christ. Again, contemplate these two principles daily. And it's so important that I suggest you do it every day for 1 week. Until you realize that without these principles, yours cannot be the kingdom of God. Your rock is oneness, one God. One being, one spiritual substance, one perfect law, one perfect life, one infinite life. We live in the kingdom of God by accepting only that one as being present, loving only that one, asking for guidance only from that one. And in the full acceptance of sonship, know that one is my invisible self here, now, and always. For with this surrender to absolute truth comes the strength, the vision, to reject every appearance of material self. We cannot live in the kingdom and also in the world. It cannot be done. We cannot have a spiritual life and also a material life. We cannot have a good life and a bad life. We cannot have a male life and a female life. We cannot have harmony and discord. We dare not in one breath believe that we are living in the kingdom of God, while in another breath we accept discord, disasters, diseases, and various forms of material destruction as reality. Oh no. Here and now, We place our consciousness in the perfect kingdom of God, which is invisible. We know it is the only one. Yes, we expect our senses to report conditions of the world of matter, but we have a higher knowledge, a higher faith than our physical senses. We have the Word of God. And we know that whatever cannot be happening in the spiritual kingdom of God simply cannot be happening. So our path is to develop this high capacity to remain in spirit, true to spirit, until the glorious quickening, when suddenly we're lifted out of the appearance world of material dualities into a clearer apprehension of our own perfect, eternal, spiritual self. There's a great mystery in the Bible, in Genesis. It says that while Adam is sleeping, Eve is born out of his rib. Now, you know, he is sleeping to show us the condition of material man, asleep. And although there's only one infinite spiritual life, one, no other life existent, in this mortal sleep of Adam, material man dreams of other material lives, separate and apart from his own material life, and all separate and apart from the one spiritual life. So here is this material male, Adam, and his dream concept called the material woman, Eve. And each continues in those concepts, perpetuating the illusion of material lives, separate lives. And they are violating the sacred principle of oneness, of the one spiritual selfhood without opposite. And from this moment in antiquity, world consciousness remains knee-deep in matter and in separated finite lives. Man lives out his mortal sense of separated lives and matter, although the kingdom of God is one pure spiritual being, to advise us that material consciousness is the basic problem of mankind, chaining us to cycles of material birth and death, and that all material human birth is automatically a lie about the allness of spirit, Moses specifically, as the Lord God said to Eve, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And then to Adam, meaning to the entire material human race, the Lord God says, Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And then the crushing blow, the crowning reminder that we will continue to suffer death unless we step out of material sense into the kingdom of spirit. The Bible tells us that Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And so the entire human race, born in the womb of material sense, Moses is telling us, must continue to perish. Material man must return to material earth. Dust must return to dust. And by this blunt statement, he is in reverse informing us that only spirit lives forever and never goes through the experience of death. This electrifying revelation by Moses is as true today as it was then. But still, nobody believes it. Still we accept material birth and death as reality. Whereas you only have to look across the page at Genesis 1:27. And there you'll see a totally different picture of man and woman in their spiritual perfection of oneness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. In his own image. That doesn't sound like dust to dust. That doesn't sound like the curse of Eve's progeny. That doesn't sound like a curse on the human race. And God blessed them. He didn't bless Adam and Eve. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Isn't this the statement that the kingdom of God is present? Isn't this the statement that the Spirit is where man is blessed, where man is the image and likeness of God? How ridiculous it would be for that spiritual divine image not to be here. Then later, when the firstborn of Eve slays her second child, where does that take place? Is it in the kingdom of God? Naturally not. It takes place only in material sense. But if only the kingdom of spirit is life, then that slaying and any other form of killing or dying or suffering has no real place where it can happen. God blessed man and woman. There is no place where these horrible things can happen. Then where does Cain slay Abel? Only in the dream of Adam, in the mortal dream, in the dream of Adam, which continues today in the human mind of man. That's where all death takes place, in the dream mind. All dying takes place in the mortal dream only because, first, we accept the belief in material birth. As long as we've got matter there, being born, we have the first part of the dream and the rest is the suffering of that matter. What we have forgotten to realize is that material selfhood is not the image and likeness of God. It's the Adam dream of a false selfhood in matter, of a body and a human life forever separated from God, from reality, from the perfect law of God. Now, we're under the impression today that this is the space age of the 20th century. But it is not. We're still in the same Adam dream of a material selfhood. And we're still suffering death and all the evils of a false lifespan in this coffin called matter. And even now, while the world seems to be plummeting downward in a material tailspin, we are given one of the most remarkable secrets about eternal life. The divine link-up between invisible heaven and the visible concept we call earth is now taking place in your consciousness. It is called transmutation. It is the inner process which gradually dissolves your material consciousness and dissolves the mist of mortality, until the light that you already are shines through you. And you become conscious of yourself as spirit. Consciously, you know that you have never left the kingdom of God, which is eternal life. Now, there is a key to transmutation, and was revealed to mankind in the five resurrection experiences that were demonstrated by Christ Jesus. I think we're going to pause a moment here before we come to these five resurrection experiences which contain the key to the transmutation that is now taking place on earth in the consciousness of those who are walking the spiritual path. Let's be silent a moment.